David Franklin. Sunday PM, August 12, 2012.
Romans 8, verses 28 through 32. Give those of you who are still turning the old-fashioned way a moment to get there in your Bible. Romans 8, 28 through 32. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's look to him again in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the richness of your word. I thank you that it's simply a reflection of the depth, the fullness, the sweetness, the wonder of the relationship that can be ours in the Lord Jesus Christ if we simply walk according to your precepts. And Father, help us tonight, again, as always, to open our hearts to receive what you would speak to each one of us here. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking for some kind of a subtitle or description for this lesson tonight, and I really couldn't satisfy myself on how to label it. We wind up looking at a great deal of that which God has for us eternally, and so maybe we could call it God's plan for our future. There's more to the lesson than that, and I'm going to try to cover more ground than maybe I should. But I can see the clock, so as we go through these things, keep that thought in mind, simply that it's about the long-term plan of God. I'm going to start with some opening statements, and for time's sake, I'm not going to back up these statements with a lot of scriptures at the outset. Some of them we'll come back to, but just sort of to lay a groundwork for some of the thoughts that we'll be considering. First of all, the statement that God's plan will ultimately be fulfilled. It's unstoppable. You can't put God's plan off track. Satan has set himself to do that. He does everything in his power to undo the will and the plan and the purpose of God. But he has failed, and he will fail. And even in the occasions when he thinks he's made a success, such as when he managed to have the Lord of Glory crucified, it was possibly the worst failure he ever had. Then secondly, we choose our place in God's plan. We choose our place not just in God's plan, because some never wind up in God's plan, so I'll sort of fix that. We choose the place that we will have in relation to God's plan by either the obedience of faith or by self-will and unbelief. I'm not going to get into predestination tonight. It was talked about in that passage that we read, and I love the doctrine of predestination, and it has nothing to do with what the Calvinists, if you know who they are, have in mind. But we choose the place that we're going to have in regards to God's plan. Consider the nation of Israel of old. God had a plan, and he'd given promises in connection with that plan. His plan was to lead the nation of Israel to a land that he had picked out and determined, and he was going to bless them in that land. Now, there was a generation that was led right up to the border of the land, and they had a decision to make. They did not go in. They chose their place in relation to God's plan, and they wandered around in the desert until they died, except for Joshua and Caleb. Those that were old enough to have a part in that decision, they faced the consequences of their decision. The next generation went into the land. Now, if you know the Bible, you know that everything wasn't just perfect with that next generation. But it's just an example. God's plan is going on. You can't stop God's plan. He's going to fulfill his plan, but we choose where we're going to land in connection with that plan. This one is kind of hard to understand, and there's no way I'm going to explain it all tonight, although we'll come back to it a little bit. There are things that happen that are not what God wants to happen. There are things that happen that are not a part of God's plan, and yet in foreknowledge, no, I'm not going to get into all this, but in foreknowledge, he knows what's going to happen. He's not surprised. He doesn't leave himself without options. He knows what he's going to do, and yet those things are not a part of the plan that he set down for the human race as being his will and his purpose. And then coming back to that second point again, because it's important, people choose their final place. God doesn't choose that place for us. We choose it for ourselves. He doesn't choose for people, again, that's that false concept of predestination, that he chooses for people without regard to any decision that they might make. The Bible does not teach that if you take time to compare Scripture with Scripture. We choose the final place we will have in connection with God's plan. Now, sort of the focus, or where I'm starting out at least, the part of God's stated plan and purpose that I want to look at tonight is that portion that we read, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" One of the lines in God's plan, you might say, is to freely give, that is without a charge, without you earning it, to freely give all things to his people, withholding nothing. He didn't withhold his son. There's nothing and no one more precious than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the lessons that you learn more and more. The satisfaction that it brings to your heart as your relationship with him deepens. As you begin to realize life brings you pleasant things, unpleasant things. Life can bring you what can feel like the deepest sort of sorrow. But there is nothing and no one more precious than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we discover that, we understand that the Father knew this from the beginning. He did not spare his own son. He gave him up for us all. Then why would he not freely give us all things? And I believe I am a prosperity preacher. Again, that's one of those things you better know how to define. Because it's not name it and claim it and frame it, you know. It's not the way it works. Well, I'll leave that one alone. But there are a lot of scriptures that uphold the fact that it is God's purpose and plan to give his people everything. I don't have a gold Cadillac. I don't even want a gold Cadillac. I wouldn't mind that little Juke. Have you seen that car? That's a nice. But I don't have some of the stuff I might like. That's not what it's about. Now, there will be a natural provision for life that he will give to us. But I'm simply saying God said that he would give his people all things. Some scriptures that uphold that thought, just a few. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Then I'll be going to Hebrews chapter 1. Romans 8, 16 and 17. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God." And here's that thing that is staggering to me. "And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him." Joint heirs. What he inherits, we can inherit jointly. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Then Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading this one from the New King James Version. You know how on streets it says 25 miles an hour unless otherwise posted, you know. I'm reading the King James usually, unless it's otherwise posted. So, from the New King James Version, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world." Now, you picked up on that. He appointed Jesus Christ heir of all things. All things were made by him and for him. And the offer made to us as a part of the plan of God is that we can be joint heirs with Christ. Again, that simple picture, it's his desire, it's his stated will, it's his stated purpose that he wants to give us freely all things. God has provided to us a way to share that inheritance of all things with Christ Jesus. And I don't comprehend that. You know, when I get into these things that God wants to do for me, in a while, again, I just tend to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to talk about reigning with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, reigning with Christ, sitting in his throne. You don't know me all that well. Virgil probably knows me better than anybody here, and he doesn't know me all that well. We don't know each other, really. But God will show us the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he'll spend some time. Sometimes, I remember going through a couple of years when it just seemed like the Lord kept showing me the flesh, and more specifically, my flesh. The idea to me that someone like me would have the unmitigated brass to say, I'm going to reign with Christ. I'm going to attain to the highest. I'm going to the uttermost. I am going to be a joint heir with Christ, and you can't stop me. Well, we could get all humble. Oh, no. No, I could never have that. No, I could never earn that. You're right. You couldn't earn it. We have grandbabies. You won't, if you haven't seen pictures, catch me right after church. These things, you know, I will show you pictures. I'll show you videos. We have grandbabies. Love the grandbabies. Those grandbabies can't walk. Well, one of them is now walking, but you know, you can take the other one, just sort of toddle him along. They can't fly, but you can throw them up in the air. You know, they can't go out and earn a living to buy food, but you can get food for them. Now, think of the brilliance of the human mind that says, I am so weak and so small that God can't do this for me. Now, when your kids get to be 17, 18, 25, whatever, you don't even try to throw them up in the air. You don't tell them what to do. Not if you, oh, well, some parents do, but, you know, don't waste your time. You know, it's when they're little and weak and sort of stupid that you can get away with it, right? Okay, I am little and weak and stupid and unworthy and unqualified. All that says is that if it's done, God is going to do it. All that says is if I'm that weak, and I'll acknowledge it, and then I'll look to him and see his power, God can do anything with me that he wants to do. And so for me to say that I can be an heir of all things, it is not a statement that I have earned that. It's not a statement that I've deserved that. It's a statement that it's the plan of God. And the plan of God was always really a statement of what God is going to do, not what you're going to do. We choose our place in connection with that plan, but it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so I say, we choose our place. But that part of God's plan to give all things to his people is going to be fulfilled. Period. We're not looking for a people who are so select and so elite that they have earned this, have a right to it, deserve it. It's what God said he's going to do. And when God says, this is my plan, my purpose, and I'm going to do it, bank on it, it's going to be done. Now, again, it is provisional. The obedience of faith is required. And again, think of Israel. Some refuse. They can dress it up any way they want to. They can call it humility, meekness, you know, I'll just be satisfied. You know, you can do it anyway, but you're trying to substitute your plan and ideas for God's. Some refuse, but he will fulfill his plan with others. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace. Oh, we need grace now, don't we? Brother, do we need grace? The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. Now, sometimes we think something is good for us. You know, Brother Greg Gravett, he's got digestive problems, and I won't give you his medical diagnosis and what have you, but He knows there are certain things that he should not eat. He knows it. But then he's, one of the things is chocolate. And then he sees a cookie with big chunks of chocolate in it. And I might be able to get away with this. I might be able to get away with eating two of those. And it doesn't always, sometimes it does, but it doesn't always work. When he first got this condition, he would get just miserable, just his burning in the midsection. And he would eat ice cream. And it settled it for about an hour. And then he would be wallowing on the floor. He was doing what he thought was good for him, but it wasn't good for him. Now it says no good thing. You don't know, and I don't know, always how to define what's really good for us. That's why I don't worry about what I have and don't have most of the time. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let's sort of turn that around. The man that trusts in thee is blessed. If you're trusting in your judgment and your plan and your ideas, is there a promise there of blessing? And I do not see a promise of blessing there for those that are trusting their thought. I know I can do this. Not what God wants. Oh, I could never. I know it's what God said, but I could never. You're smarter than God. Oh, you're so humble. Oh, no, I could never attain to that. You're so humble. No, that's arrogance. That's arguing with God. That's saying, I've revised the plan, and this is the one that works for me, and I'm just going to put God's plan off to the side. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, just the last part of verse 21. For all things are yours. They were fussing and fighting over which preacher was the best. We'll take a vote after meeting. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world. You see, we can get so all spiritual, it's all heavenly. I talked this morning about he's blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I need some blessings now too. And so he lets, you know, I believe in the trickle-down theory if we're looking at that promise. That guarantee. So we have some for the earth, or the world, or life, or death. You know, some people, oh, you people believe in pie in the sky by and by when you die. Well, I don't have any problem with pie in the sky by and by when you die. I mean, it's not going to be pie, but, you know, I'm okay with the early courses in the spiritual meal, too. Life or death. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Now, in that, you're Christ, Christ is God's. Our fellowship and dependency on God, fellowship with, dependency on, that's a part of the package. You don't walk away from the plan of God in the overall sense and get the best that he has for you that's written into that plan. But we see all things given to us. Now, I believe that we should rightly put our emphasis on the eternal and on the heavenly. And you, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. But there is a statement there that is a flat statement and not a someday statement. All things are yours. If it's good for me to have a thing, he'll provide it. How many of you, this woman that wrote that bunch of books, Harry Potter, I guess she's worth billions now, I don't know, more millions than I'll ever see. And she said the good thing is she has provided for her son, he will never have to work. Now, you and I are poor enough to know that she has just destroyed her son's life on a lot of levels. Just destroyed it. Your father is wise. All things are yours. There's no lack. There's no want. There's nothing that is not yours in the wisdom and the provision of your heavenly Father. You don't carry it all around with you. It's all yours. I've got a bank account. There's not a huge amount in it, but I don't carry it all around in my pockets. I mean, that would be stupid. We've got a pretty nice house. I didn't tie it to the back end of the Honda and try to drag that house around with me. I believe absolutely with no qualifications what the Word of God says when it says that all things are mine. My Father administers it for me, and I'm very good with that. I don't think this man I'm about to mention is a good example on any level at all. but Pablo Picasso. He once said, "I'd like to live like a very wealthy poor man." In other words, he was tired of all the responsibilities and the headaches and sorting out what to do with things, the people coming in trying to get what he had. He just wished he was like poor, but he had everything he wanted. If you understand it, that's where we are. Trust your Father. Trust His wisdom. Trust His provision. Trust His purposes. Trust His eternal view of what you will wind up with on the far end of things. But believe that all things are yours, given to you by title today, not just someday. Now, what happens if you don't value something? You got a trash can? I got a trash can. I remember years ago I began to realize that I had stuff. When I started looking in my basement, I lived in the church parsonage at that time, and we built that house, moved in 1979. And this was about 2005. I began to look at things and start clearing things out, and I realized I had stuff in the basement left over from the construction of the house in 1979. That's 26 years. Okay. It was good. It might come in handy someday, you know. And then it dawned on me, no, probably not. If you haven't used it for 2 years, you probably don't need it. So most of you know Nick and Sarah McIntyre. He had a trash trailer, and he brought his empty trash trailer over, and I loaded that sucker up. I mean, the only thing that I've ever regretted getting rid of was two cans of nuts and bolts, you know, just scrambled together. Because all you guys know, any project you do, you got to go to the hardware store to find the right nut and bolt. That's the only thing. And I loaded up a trash trailer with stuff that I realized it's not valuable to me. It there could be a price tag attached to it. Theoretically, someday I might. Now, what happens if you come to the things of God, you see His plan, you see His provision, and He says, let's talk about my spiritual good for you. All things are yours. That's my provision. And I decide I would prefer to grab from life according to my desires based on what I can get. What am I doing? I'm taking God's promise and guarantee and assurance, what He's already given to me, and I'm saying, let's put that on the trash trailer. Let's start from scratch. I've got my plans, my ideas. Now let's satisfy me. It doesn't work, by the way. When I left my father's home, now I plead insanity, all right? My father, he had a lot of rules in the home, and that was appropriate. There were certain habits you did not indulge in. When it was time for church, one Friday night, I was sort of hanging. Back then, you didn't wear jeans to church, okay? And I'm sort of hanging around the house in my blue jeans and a shirt, and my dad starts to go out the back door, and he sees me, he says, "David, it's almost time for prayer meeting." "Well, I don't think I'll go tonight, Dad." I won't go any further, but it did not fly. It just did not fly. I don't know where I was going with that, but it was an awful good story, wasn't it? I do that a lot anymore. I'm getting old. If we prefer to run things according to our own plan instead of trusting our Father, it just doesn't work. And you wind up throwing those... I know where I was going. I got tired of my folks telling me what to do, so I joined the army. And in my off-duty hours, I did all the stuff that I wasn't permitted to do at home. And I almost destroyed my life. It took a miracle from the hand of God to preserve me. My life was on the way out. I mean, literally, I was on the way out. We get our ideas. All things are mine. Yeah, right. Let's be careful. Begin to try to satisfy yourself. A, it doesn't work, and B, you have just thrown in the trash trailer the greatest wealth that there is. Coming back to those opening statements that I made and didn't really support, I'll just read through. We choose our place in relation to God's plan by the obedience of faith or by self-will and unbelief. There are things that happen that are not a part of God's will and plan, and yet in foreknowledge, He's not surprised. He's not caught without options. He knows what He'll do. But even then, they aren't a part of His plan that He set down as being His will and purpose. People choose their final place. God does not choose that for us without regard to our choices. Some examples to consider just a fragment of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, and then on into verse 4. Then I'll be going to 1 Peter 3, then to Matthew 25. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. God, our Savior, who will, this is an expression of His will, what He wants, what He's planned, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He never planned for one person to perish. That is not His will. That is not the plan that He made. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew 25, 41, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Not into everlasting fire that I prepared for you. God made a plan of salvation. He did not make a plan of damnation. God made a plan of salvation. He knew what would be. But He did not so much as plan for the place. This is where I'm. He knew. But it was never prepared for the human race. That you don't read that in the Word of God. His plan was a plan of salvation, of deliverance, of uplift, of restoration, of fellowship, not of pushing anyone into outer darkness. People choose to take a place in Satan's lies. Satan is called the god of this world. The whole world lies in the wicked one. People choose to cast their lot in that system with Satan. Even God's people sometimes put their foot in the wrong camp. You remember Peter? Sure you do. Get thee behind me, Satan. What was going on? Peter had emotions. He cared about Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to die. And he put his concept and plan counter to Jesus' concept and plan, and whose side was he on in that moment? Peter was a godly man. Peter is one of the heroes, as far as I'm concerned. Peter is a good example. If there's anybody here that hasn't put their foot in it that bad, you will, number one. Number two, you're probably not really being honest with yourself. You can wind up in the wrong camp. People choose to take their place with Satan and agree with him, and there they go. To the place prepared for the devil and his angels. There are many mysteries yet to be unfolded. You know that. Now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. God has more to show to us, to reveal to us. I don't understand all the details of some of these things, but I do know His good plan is going to be fulfilled. And I do know that people choose their place in regard to that plan. And I do know that in that plan there is an enjoying of blessings and outside of it. But again, what I want to emphasize is that if we decide to make our own plan on any level, oh, I know, you know, I mentioned the other night, I don't think God cares particularly that much whether you have corn or green beans. I don't think He cares if you have an Eggo or toast or an egg for breakfast. But we're talking about those life-controlling plans. If we begin to put our plan in the place of God's, you know, I don't care about your pension plan and your retirement plan and your insurance plan and your... I have relatives that have a financial advisor. I don't think a financial advisor would return my calls. I don't care about that stuff for you. But I care about your retirement plan, as it were, when we're looking at the far, far future that God has prepared for you and planned for you from eternity past. In closing, more or less, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. If we endure, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to reject us utterly, but you deny Him His right to reign in your life. If we endure, we'll reign with Him. If we deny Him the right to reign, He will deny us. If we are faithless, if we fall into unbelief, you know, some would say those years that I wasted, and they were wasted, I wasn't saved, they would say. Well, I'm glad to know the Word of God. So grateful to know the Word of God. If we are faithless, if we lapse into unbelief, I had decided there was no God. Except one time in Vietnam when I got really scared, and I prayed anyway just in case. He remains faithful. If we're faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Remember that mystery now revealed? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We tell little children to ask Jesus to come into their heart. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He cannot deny Himself. But the offer, the part of His plan that we can throw away, if we endure in that plan and that purpose, we'll reign with Him. Revelation 3, 21 and 22, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now that doesn't mean so much to us today in our culture. You know, I don't know that Mr. Obama has a chair big enough for both of us. And if he does, you know, I certainly don't want to sit on a grown man's lap. I mean, that's not going for me. And I, you know, anyway, in that day, and I have seen thrones, big thrones, and to sit in the throne with the King, that was something. It was an honor. It was an exaltation. It was being put in a place of authority. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame. And I'm set down with my Father in his throne, he that hath an ear. He's saying, listen up, people. This is my purpose. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 19, verses 5 through 9, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants. Why? Because he's done what we are about to read about. It's his work. Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That starts out with a command to praise the Lord. It finishes up with a description of the bride, those among God's people who have been willing now to let their hearts be enraptured, be engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ in a practical sense. Why are you talking about her? Because it is the work of God. He has a plan. This is his plan. This isn't just a bunch of line items that you can scratch off and throw out. And not to lay hold of these things is to do violence to the plan of God, to refuse to believe the things that he promises. It's God's plan for you, for your spiritual retirement. Although I'll give you a little guarantee, it's not going to be retirement. The God I know doesn't stop doing and doesn't stop. Well, I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to show to us the exceeding riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. And we choose. We choose his plan or we choose ours. And child of God, it matters eternally, the choice that we make.